The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search the wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until and change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. Only Jesus can satisfy. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death shall call you. Riches can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can truly satisfy your soul.
Well, that's the truth. Some folks never learn, and some learn it a little bit late. But that's the real truth. Thank you for that message and song. Won't you open your Bibles to the book of Galatians? Galatians, not Galileans. You say, what are you talking about? Well, when they were having the Watergate hearings. Anybody remember that? Anybody ever remember back during the Nixon era, the Watergate hearings? One of those senators and one of those investigations, He once in a while would refer to the Bible, and the news media just jumped on that. They enjoyed that at that time. And he halfway quoted a verse, and he said, that's out of the book of the Galileans. Now, here's the funny part. The media didn't know the difference. They didn't catch it at all. Book of Galatians. Galatians. It means the Gauls. Anybody ever hear of the Gauls? Anybody know France used to be named Gaul, I think? So here we are in the book of Gaulians, Galatians. Okay, joking with you some. Chapter 1. I want to read about 8 or 9 verses here. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who hath raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches, plural, more than one, of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world. If it was evil then, it's more so now. Present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I want to preach to you. I'm going to give it a title this morning. You may have heard this before. I'm going to preach to you on things that are different or not the same. Amen. Anybody ever heard that before? Amen. We have a book back there. It kind of was copyrighted in 1993, and it had to do with pointing out things that are different or not the same between the perversions of the Bible that had come out in the last 50 to 100 years, and we show the evil of that. But that was the title of the book, and it, by God's grace, it's gone around the world to a great degree, mission fields and other things, and a lot of different preachers have taken up that theme and done a good job on it, and we praise the Lord for it. Here in the text, Paul is comparing the Gospels. He said there's one Gospel, and the others are wrong. He's saying they're not the same. You understand what we're hurting from in America today and in churches today and everywhere today is sameness. You say that's not a word. It is when I say it is, because it's the only one I know. If I say you invented a word, I've invented a lot of them from this pulpit through the years. I ought to have my own dictionary. But the truth is, everybody wants everything to be the same. And if you're not the same as they are, there must be something wrong with you. If you're independent, if you think on your own, if you measure by a different yardstick than what they're using, if you don't believe what Hollywood tells you to believe and what others in certain circles tell you to believe, there must be something wrong with you. That's what I'm talking about when I say we're under the disease of sameness today. Everybody's wanting to be, but things that are different are not the same. And that's not too deep for you to get a hold of. But you know, they can't seem to understand to see God deals in separation. He deals in variety. He deals in differences. All you got to do is look at the animal kingdom or the insect world or any of his creation and see that God seems to like variety, don't he? He seems to do different things. You got the crew today that, you know, don't think that you ought to eat meat of any kind, any animal. I told you not long ago they had the commercial on showing the fish in an aquarium, and they had a caption on it saying, don't eat us, we're not food. Yeah, that's really true, that group. Did you hear this week? Peter, is that what they call themselves? Yeah. This week they said that to drink white cow milk, and I don't know of any other color until we color it. I like chocolate, but you got to add something to it to make it chocolate, amen? But they said if you drink white cow milk, that's racism. Yeah, it's gone crazy. They said it's racism because the cows are imprisoned, fenced in, and we're drinking the milk of the cow that belongs to the cow babies. That was their talk. I didn't write it. I didn't invent it. That was in the news this week. And the truth is, that's how stupid this world has gone, how far out to the left that it has moved till it is really an amazing thing to think about. But I don't have them now. I shouldn't say that on the radio here. I did have a couple of bad dogs to keep bad people away from my house. And I got where I couldn't afford to feed them. They ate more than I did. All joking aside, when I'd go in the store to buy dog food, I'd read on the bags of the dog food what was in it. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to make vegetarians out of my dog. Bunch of junk. I'd read on there, and it would have corn, and vegetables. I'll tell you something. You take a dog, pin him up in a garden, and don't feed him, he'll starve to death. He won't eat your garden. You put him in a cornfield, he's not going to eat that grain, but then they put it in and try to camouflage it and mix it in his food. God made some animals that are carnivorous. They gotta eat the meat thing. He made some others that eat the corn and eat the greenery. But God's into the variety of it. God makes a difference, and everything is not the same, no matter how man wants to make it. There's a lot of things that are not the same. You and I better make the difference today in some things that we are being brainwashed, or they're trying to brainwash us with. To begin with, there's a big difference in world governments and governments of different nations. There's a big difference in the governments. If you don't think so, I saw just this week where two Christian ladies finally got out of jail in Iran because they were jailed because they were Christians, and they were under a death sentence for no other reason than they had converted from Islam to Christianity. By the grace of God, a lot of pressure, and finally they've gotten out here last week or two. We talked about Pastor Brunson being over there in Turkey and finally being freed. What was he charged with? He was charged with believing nothing more than Christian doctrine, Christian Bible, as you and I believe it today. Thank God he got out. But there's differences in governments. There's a lot of folks in America need to learn that. Because there's a lot of forces moving against our government today in America. And I'm not talking about just the nuts that makes a bomb that won't explode. I'm talking about the crazies out there. But our big threat is not from some lunatic like that. Our big threat is from the inside. That's where we're in danger for today. Trying to change our government from a democracy into socialism, and worse, even into communism, and make everything the same. I've told you before, but during the days of Rome, Rome had somewhat of a democratic government when it was at its best. They had the senators and so forth. You had Caesar and all of that. But America's government was patterned a little bit after that. Much more biblical, of course. But in the days of Rome, one of the senators by the name of Cirio made this statement. You can read it. You can find it here and there. He said that democracy could not last. It would only last as long as the population realized they could vote themselves freebies out of the common treasury. Does that make sense to what's going on today? When you have politicians running, promising everything in the world, free health care, promising free college, promising all this under the very open banner of socialism, I want to tell you, somebody has to pay for it. And sooner or later, everybody, they said, we're going to make everybody equal. Yes, you are on the bottom. And there'll be a few at the top in control, but the middle class is going to be gone. Things that are different are not the same. There's a difference. There's a difference in governments. Big difference. Inside is where our attack is coming from today. And the differences between the... Listen, it's not just politics today. It's warfare. We are under threat of losing what we were raised under and the freedoms that our government gave us through the years. Freedoms that came from God, inalienable rights, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence calls it. There's a big difference in having a government. Listen, a government that is big enough to give you everything is big enough to take everything away from you. And that's exactly what we're dealing with today, trying to make everything the same. The differences are clear. Let me ask you. As you look at the politicians that are running, as you look at the platforms that they are espousing, who is it that espouses killing the babies on demand? Who is it that believes in tearing the borders down? I mean, letting everybody in, and then as they get in, give them a paycheck, give them free health, give them free education, give them all. Who is it? Now, you're not dumb enough to think that they are the same. There's a difference. Who is it that would get rid of the police force to keep our borders enforced? Who is it that would do that? Who is it that would take away religious liberty? And who is it that would enthrone the perversion, sex perversion, that you see being enthroned in the agenda, going all the way down to our kindergarten today, trying to teach little boys and girls, you may not be a boy, you may be a girl, blah, 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 all that junk. Now, if you don't know the difference, something's wrong with you. Things that are different are not the same. It does matter who you vote for. It does matter what you speak up for. And you say, that's politics. No, that's preaching against unrighteousness and evil and taking the side, the best side I can find to stand for what this Bible stands for and godly values. And I'm going to do that long as this old boy can breathe. He's going to get up and tell you the truth, because I'm not just going to join the crowd and pretend there's no difference when there's a big difference. A big difference. Big difference. And in governments, there's a big difference. We better protect what we have. I hope we haven't got to the point of no return to lose it, but it's a possibility. We ought to be wise to who's funding things. Did you hear our vice president this week talk about who was funding the caravan that's coming? Oh, yeah, he checked it out. He went down and he found out from the leaders of those nations who was paying for it. And by the way, as you look at them, they're clothed pretty well. They're getting along pretty good. Somebody's paying the bill. I'll guarantee you that. And it's good always to look behind and see where the money's coming from, who's doing it, and what the motive is behind that thing. Yes, sir. Things that are different are not the same. Our freedoms are at stake, folks. Right here in Florida, if the wrong crowd gets in, the Christian school movement's really going to hurt. You heard me say that before. I saw in the paper this week where the candidate for socialism in Florida is saying he'd like to get rid of what began under Jeb Bush, the voucher program. Now, it got rewritten and all, but the voucher program helps the Christian schools. It allows a fellow that has a business to donate, to give, to send a kid to the Christian school and be able to take that off of his income tax. And so the public school system says, that's our money. No, it's not. It never was your money. It's his money to do what he wants to do with it. And the very fact that you can may outlaw him doing that don't mean you'll get the money. He still don't have to give it to you. If he wants to make a choice and makes the right choice, that's what America was all about, having a freedom of choice, freedom of what we want to do with it. Somebody says, you go down to that church and you give your money. That's what I want to do with it. Nobody making me do it. That's what I want to do with it. Amen? Because I believe in the cause behind what it's being used for. Amen and amen. Buckle your seatbelt. It may get rougher. The truth is, things that are different are not the same. That's true in governments. That's true in churches. In churches. Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you the church will be in a warfare. Now, I believe this. I believe the church is going to endure till Jesus comes. I believe that Ephesians 3:21 gives us that promise, that there'll still be good churches preaching the gospel, doing right until the trumpet sounds. I believe that. But also in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells you how the church goes downhill and progresses to the place it makes God sick on his stomach when you read about the Laodicean church. Neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And God said, I'll spew thee out. Now, I don't want to be that kind of church. I'm not going to pastor that kind of church. I thank God for a lot of good churches. I was in a good church last week, and I know of a lot of good ones. I praise God, but I also know, and I look on the scene today, and I see the Laodicean, the last age church, everywhere I look. They're called by different names. Some of them are called the emerging church. Some of them are called by different things, but there's not much difference in their music and what you hear in the bars. They've changed the Bible a long time ago. They've a long time ago departed from the blood of Jesus Christ and the right gospel, as Paul was telling the church at Galatia. There's one gospel that's right, and if you preach anything else, let you be accursed. And that's the age we're in. Thank God for the good churches. They'll last till Jesus comes, but we better look out and be on guard, because things that are different are not the same, and they're not the same in everything that calls itself a church. Some folks want to think it is. The compromise is in. I'll tell you, it ought to be important to you what a church believes that you attend. Does it go with the Bible? Does it believe the doctrines of the Bible? Does it believe the gospel of salvation by grace? Does it believe in the eternal security of it? Does it believe in separated, clean, Christian, living, representing Christ? Well, what does your church believe? Any difference in it and the worldly church? There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a difference in its way it lives and its doctrine. You see in the news here, you see where the Catholic Church priest and all the hundreds and hundreds of children being molested, pedophiles in the priesthood. I want to tell you what that comes from. That comes from bad doctrine. Right. The bad doctrine that attracts a homosexual man to the priesthood. That bad doctrine is you can't get married. That's not Bible. Jesus said that in the beginning, he made a male and female. Jesus said a man can leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The truth of the matter is God's plan was marriage. It was never the celibacy of the priesthood. That's not in the Bible. That's church rules. That's junk. And it produces the fruit that it's producing. And while they're trying to cover it up, it comes from a bad doctrine. Hey, help yourself. I'll tell you the truth here. That's exactly where it comes from. Nothing else. You see, the difference is, where do you put your authority? Do you put your authority in a bunch of rules that a bunch of council fellows got around and they wrote up and they call those the church rules? No, 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 no. Let's write, see what God wrote about it. Go by his rules. This book is our authority. Right? Every now and then somebody says, what about your bylaws? We have some so we can be incorporated and do some business, but I want to tell you, here's our bylaws. Amen. Here's what we're going to go by. We're going to go by thus saith the Lord. That's the thing that counts. If you're wrong on this, I don't care how many other rules you write. This is the key right here. The Word of God. The authority comes from the Bible. But I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. There's a pile of people don't care. There's a pile of people. I'm talking about they claim they're Christians, and maybe they are. They go to a building on Sunday morning. They'll take anything that's shoveled out, and they'll get out and do their own thing, and half the time they're in the building, they wasn't even thinking about God to begin with. They don't care. They're just meeting what they think is a duty and a responsibility, and that should not be. You ought to care what your church believes. Amen. You ought to care what it stands for. Amen. And it is in a warfare. Some of you don't like it because I rip on this some. Hear me good. We've been in a warfare. Jesus was crucified. He's our founder. Amen. He said if they'll do this in a green tree, meaning when he was alive, what will they do in the dry? The warfare didn't stop when Jesus went back to heaven. We're still in the midst of a warfare. We represent him, and the world don't like what he stands for any more today than they did when they crucified him. You need to understand that. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We're going to still do all Jesus wants us to do till he comes for us. But it's not going to be easy. Get your mind wrapped around it. Serving God is not a picnic. Serving God is not just a big party. You stand for something. You are called in the Bible a Christian soldier. We go to warfare. That's what the Bible tells us about. We're not to be entangled with the affairs of the world, the scripture tells us, and we will be in a warfare. There's no doubt about it, but hey, it's the right warfare. It's the right place to stand. We ought to care about it. God accused Israel of getting to that place and not caring. I turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. Don't take time to find it. I'm going to read the last two verses. Now, God directed this to the Jews, but it applies to us. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Okay, now he's going to tell us what that horrible thing was. The prophets, we could say preachers, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And get this, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What does he say? He said, not only is the leadership wrong, the people love to have it so. Yeah. Wow. What a charge. I think we could move that right on 2,000, more than 2,000 years, 28 years, 2,800 years later down to where we are at and say, no wonder the leadership of churches can get by because the people in the pew don't care. They love to have it so. Too much of the time. They love to have it so. I want to say to you, I don't want to preach to a bunch of people that are yes people. I want them to look in the book, and if I'm wrong, correct me by the book and take a stand. You ought to care what your church believes. You ought to care about where your money goes you put in the offering plate. What is it doing? Is it going to save souls on the mission field, or is it going to a big headquarters somewhere for a big bunch of partying going on? Amen. Amen. Let me say this. You ought to belong to a good church. You ought to be involved in a warfare standing for Christ. You ought to get in a church that stands for what's right, and you stand with them. And when your money's put in the plate, it ought to go to the right cause. Your testimony ought to be that I love Jesus. I stand for what he stood for. I'm against the evil of this world today. And that ought to be a testimony. And you ought to be a church member, but you ought to care about what your church represents. Amen. You say, I don't go down there and join Landmark. They might make me do something. Yeah, they might. Because it's real to us.
Amen.
It's just not a game. We're involved in something. It's the cause of Christ. We care what happens. We care what we believe. We care what we represent. We care what we're doing.
Amen.
For the cause of Jesus Christ that loved us and died for us. We care. No, join Landmark. I'm not going to make you get up here and preach. You might be called to do that. You might not even have to sing a special because we might not could stand it. I'm playing with you some now. I'm just telling you, but there's a lot of things you can do that God knows about.
Amen.
You can pray. You can give. You can live right. You can speak up as a witness when you have the opportunity. Life is more than just feeding yourself and sleeping and getting up and doing it again. There ought to be a cause you're involved in. It ought to be bigger than yourself. You ought to care about, am I doing some good for the cause of Christ? That's what his church was left here to do, to represent him. I say to you today that you ought to be a member of a good church. If not this one, find another one and be a member of it. Too many folks today, and I see it here all the time, they window shop. Now, you know, I can go uptown and window shop, don't cost me nothing. And there's a lot of folks like that. Well, I come in, I heard Pastor Carter again, been hearing him for 20 years. I've had folks say to me, I say, where'd you move from? Well, I moved from Kentucky, I moved from Illinois, I moved from Michigan. He's a member of the church up there, but I'm still looking. 20 years, still looking. Something wrong.
Right.
I can't believe in 20 years you can't find a church that's worthy of you.
Yeah.
I suspect there's a bunch of them that, well, I ain't gonna say that. Well, maybe I am. Don't worry about whether or not they're worthy of you. You may not be worthy of them. Amen. Help yourself. Truth of the matter is you ought to care, not just be a window shopper. You ought to get involved. And you say, and I have folks in this town, preacher, I hear you on the radio, I'm all for you. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I just hardly ever go. I understand. You're sending a message to God. Jesus started the church. He died for it. It's important to him. You sure send him a message what you think of what he died for. Amen. You know, the truth is, don't fear getting involved. Find where you can get involved. Find where you can do something for the cause of Christ. Don't just window shop. But I'll get back to the text. I didn't get too far from it. Things that are different are not the same. Paul's saying these gospels are not the same. He said, one of them's right, and the other one, if it's preached, it's, you're cursed. It's wrong. And there was only one right. All the rest of them are wrong.
That's right.
The gospel that tells you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, that's the right gospel.
Amen.
The gospel that tells you you can be saved by grace and not of works, that's the right gospel.
Amen.
But the gospel that tells you you can be good enough, you can earn it, you can get baptized enough, you can join enough religious orders, you can... No, 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 no. The Bible says one that preaches that, let him be accursed.
Amen.
I just read it. Just read it right here. The gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is his gospel.
Amen.
That is the right gospel. Think about it. The gospel of grace says that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. It's right here in the verses I read. He did what we couldn't do. We couldn't pay for our sins. No way we could pay for them. We couldn't be good enough. But he, the perfect one, the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, came as my substitute. And as my sacrifice, and died on the cross and imputed his righteousness to me.
Amen.
In me there is no righteousness, but in Jesus Christ there's perfect righteousness.
Amen.
And that imputed righteousness he gives to me when he becomes my Savior, and therefore I can stand before God justified as though I never sinned one time. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. Why in the world would I want to substitute any man-made gospel for that? Any kind of rules or regulations or religious order? I had a fellow not long ago say this to me. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He moved to the area. It was new. A denominational church approached him and asked him to come and be on their board and be over this, that, and the other. And he said, I accepted it, but I told them I'd need a little while to learn their rules and regulations because the church I was now a member of was different. And I thought, where in the world are your convictions?
Right.
One denomination over here got this set of rules. Another denomination over here got this set of rules. I can just switch any time. Just give me the rule book. My soul, man. What's real to you or not? You ought to have some convictions about what is right and what is wrong and what is Bible and what is not Bible. Amen? But too many folks that way. The right gospel is the Jesus gospel. It's the grace gospel. It's that he paid it all to him we owe, that he finished it on the cross, and we can have salvation as a free gift that he bought and he paid for.
Amen.
Not something we can earn. Or go through some religious rules and get because we keep the religious orders well. No, no, no. The text here is there's one true gospel, one that is right, many that are wrong. The scripture says that it's by grace are you saved, through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And verse 9 of Ephesians 2 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to work your way to heaven. You're only going to receive it as a gift, already worked for, already paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Romans says this, and over in chapter 5 and verse 4, I guess it is. Amazing how that people get it mixed up. Tells us over there that the grace of God is our salvation, says, but to him that worketh not, get that, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Don't tell me you're going to work your way when the Bible says you get it by working not. He worked. He did the work.
Amen.
I accept his work, his finished work. That's the way I get saved, through the gospel of grace. And anything else preached anywhere else, the scripture says, let the one that preaches it be accursed. Things that are different are not the same. I marvel sometime how people fight the grace of God. I say again, why would you throw away the free gift of God and take your chance on working and earning it yourself? People fear God's goodness and God's love toward them. That's strange. Resist what is best for them. I think about the story I read, and I thought about this. A woman had a job A wife had a job where she worked a little late at night, and she had to drive home and by herself. Her husband often, when he'd take her to work or pick her up, he'd drive through a shady section of town, a more dangerous section of town, but he'd always tell her, "You don't do that. It's a shortcut, but you don't do that by yourself. You take the long way around." Well, one night she got off from work, and she thought she'd like to get home a little earlier, so she took the shortcut that her husband told her not to. And it was through the business end of town where the factories and railroads and all that was, but hardly any traffic that time of night. And as she drove the shortcut, she saw some road work being done, and she began to dodge around some of the road work, and all of a sudden her car stopped. It was hung up on something. It wouldn't go. She couldn't get by. She was stuck. And she was kind of panicking over it. She couldn't go forward. She couldn't go backwards. And she knew what side of town she was in. And sure enough, all of a sudden, she saw a big, burly man come into the car. And he pounded on the window and on the door, trying to get her to open it. And she would not open it for anything. And finally, he stepped back and disappeared for a second, and then he come back with something in his hand, and he burst the window out of the car, and he opened the door, and he drug her out screaming. And just as he got her out good, the train come by and wiped out her car. She was fighting that man, saving her. Some of you have been fighting the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that wants to save you for a long time. You scream and holler about everything else, and you resist, and destruction's heading your way like the train on the track. You're not going to make it with your gospel. You're not going to make it trying to earn your own way. You're only going to make it His way. And His way is He paid the price. He took the wages of sin on Him. He paid a price you couldn't pay to give you a gift that you don't deserve. And that gift is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, He's knocking on your window of your heart saying, "Let me save you. Let me save you." I ask you this morning, have you let Him save you? Don't take a substitute. Don't pretend everything is the same. It's not. There's a difference, and Jesus makes the difference. Do you have Him? You can have Him this morning. If you leave that seat, come forward and receive Christ. Stand with me, please, with your heads bowed. Father, we come to You in prayer. Lord, You know every heart. You know every need. You know everyone that's resisting You right now. Even as You tap on the window of their very heart, Father, they are still saying no to You. Destruction is coming like a locomotive down the track, and they're right in its path. And time is running out. I pray for their soul right now. I pray for those that need to join the church, not just window shop it, not just kind of stay around the edge, but be a member of that one organization You started, that one thing that You said You loved and gave Yourself for it. I pray, Father, for those that ought to see the seriousness of the hour and the lateness of the hour to want to be involved and stand on the right side until You say it's enough. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you come? You come as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that
will You come this morning? Will You come?
Shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb.
Will You come?
Of God I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to.
How about you this morning? How about you?
Of one dark blood to Thee whose blood can cleanse each blood.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Invitation's still open. You can still come. Plenty of time. Oh, if you're not saved, dear friend, with this world weekly hearing about horrible things happening, weekly seeing the Bible fulfilled, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Maybe you're here and God's spoken to you about something else. Maybe you ought to move a church membership. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. You ought to come for that. Maybe you've kind of got cold on the Lord and you ought to come back and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to forsake you in the end time warfare that's going on. I want to be counted on your side. I want folks to know where I stand. What's God asked you to do? Invitation's open now. Will you come? Will you come? Some have come for membership. Maybe some of you ought to do that. How long are you going to keep watching, waiting, testing? Probably the church you were a member of, if it was a good church, had what's called a church covenant. Part of that covenant said that if you moved, you'd find another church, a good one somewhere, and join it. Did you ever read the church covenant? Right. That's a reasonable thing to do. We're pilgrims passing through, folks. We're aliens in a perverse world that's getting worse all the time, and Jesus is going to come for his jewels. You read the last chapters of the Old Testament, Book of Malachi. He's got some jewels he's coming for. I want to be in that group of jewels he's coming for. I want to be found doing right when he comes. How about it? Where will he find you? Today, with all the troubles going on, all the shootings and bombings and all the bad stuff, I have folks say, Preacher, what are we supposed to do? Keep on doing right. That's what we're supposed to do. Just keep on doing right. Keep on sending the gospel out. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on living right for him, no matter what the rest of the world does. Keep on doing right. In the book of Malachi, the question was raised, does it pay to serve the Lord? Well, it does. And one day, the friend's benefits are going to be beyond description. Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you do, are you living for him? Or are you serving? All right, we're going to let you be seated.